33. Two women were standing in the doorway of the used appliance shop across the street from the mansion. The older was the proprietor. The younger had been her only customer when the sounds of crashing walls and breaking beams began. Now, without knowing they were doing it, they linked arms about each other's waists and stood that way, trembling like children who hear a noise in the dark. Up the street, a trio of boys on their way to the Dutch Hill Little League field stood, gaping at the house, their red ball flyer wagon filled with baseball equipment forgotten behind them. A delivery driver nosed his van into the curb and got out to look. The patrons of Henry's Corner Market and the Dutch Hill Pub came straggling up the street, looking around wildly. Now the ground began to tremble, and a fan of fine cracks started to spread across Reinhold Street.
"Is it an earthquake?"
the delivery van driver shouted at the women standing outside the appliance shop. But instead of waiting for an answer, he jumped back behind the wheel of his van and drove away rapidly, swerving to the wrong side of the street to keep away from the ruined house, which was the epicenter of this convulsion. The entire house seemed to be bowing inward. Boards splintered, jumped off its face, and rained down into the yard. Dirty, gray-black waterfalls of slate shingles poured down from the eaves. There was an ear-splitting bang, and a long, zigzagging crack shot down the center of the mansion. The door disappeared into it, and then the whole house began to swallow itself from the outside in. The younger woman suddenly broke the older one's grip.
"I'm getting out of here,"
she said, and began to run up the street without looking back. 34. A hot, strange wind began to sigh down the hallway, blowing Jake's sweaty hair back from his brow as his fingers closed over the silver key. He now understood, on some instinctive level, what this place was and what was happening. The doorkeeper was not just in the house. It was the house. Every board, every shingle, every windowsill, every eave. And now it was pushing forward, becoming some crazily jumbled representation of its true shape as it did. It meant to catch him before he could use the key. Beyond the giant white head and the crooked, hulking shoulder, he could see boards and shingles and wire and bits of glass, even the front door and the broken banister, flying up the main hall and into the ballroom, joining the form which bulked there, creating more and more of the misshapen plaster man that was even now groping toward him with its freakish hand. Jake yanked his own hand out of the hole in the floor and saw it was covered with huge, trundling beetles. He slapped it against the wall to knock them off and cried out as the wall first opened and then tried to close around his wrist. He yanked his hand free just in time, whirled, and jammed the silver key into the hole in the plate. The plaster man roared again, but its voice was momentarily drowned out by a harmonic shout which Jake recognized. He had heard it in the vacant lot, but it had been quiet then, perhaps dreaming. Now it was an unequivocal cry of triumph. That sense of certainty, overwhelming, inarguable, filled him again, and this time he felt sure there would be no disappointment. He heard all the affirmation he needed in that voice. It was the voice of the rose. The dim light in the hallway was blotted out as the plaster hand tore away the other French door and squeezed into the corridor. The face socked itself into the opening above the hand, peering at Jake. The plaster fingers crawled toward him like the legs of a huge spider. Jake turned the key and felt a sudden surge of power rush up his arm. He heard a heavy, muffled thump as the locked bolt inside withdrew. He seized the knob, turned it, and yanked the door open. It swung wide. Jake cried out in confused horror as he saw what lay behind. The doorway was blocked with earth from top to bottom and side to side. Roots poked out like bunches of wire. Worms, seeming as confused as Jake was himself, crawled hither and thither on the door-shaped pack of dirt. Some dived back into it, others only went on crawling about, as if wondering where the earth which had been below them a moment ago had gone. One dropped onto Jake's sneaker. The keyhole shape remained for a moment, shedding a spot of misty white light on Jake's shirt. Beyond it, so close, so out of reach, he could hear rain and a muffled boom of thunder across an open sky. Then the keyhole shape was also blotted out, and gigantic plaster fingers curled around Jake's lower leg.